Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, please. Yeah. Genesis chapter 1. Anybody like a piece of paper to take notes on? If you raise your hand, Wes will be sure you get one. I want to begin this morning by explaining something to you. Monday night I had my conversation with my friend from Wilmington, Rick. Tuesday night I was speaking to John Jenkins, the evangelist that was here with us last either December or January. I can't remember which one of the 2 months, but it was around the Christmas time. I was speaking with John Tuesday night and telling him about the things that have been... Anybody else need a piece of paper for notes? Was telling him about the things that were going on here at the church, and he was telling me about things happening in his ministry and so forth and so on. And as we got ready to end our conversation, John said to me, he said, is there anything in particular you would like for me to pray with you about? And I had not... Had not considered this answer previously, and it really just sort of came out before I had a chance to really think about it. And the reason why that's important is because I'm having to be real, real careful right now in my life about everything that I say. And I said to him, just almost as quick as he asked the question, I said, I want you to tell Jesus. Say, Jesus, when Don sees the ox stumble, help him keep his hands in his pockets. When Don sees the ox stumble, help him keep his hands in his pockets. You understand what I just said? Because the last thing any of us want to do is to do anything to try and help God do what God's wanting to do on His own. Amen. And in every direction that I look, I see God moving so phenomenally. And I had a visitor come by my house Friday who brought me some news that sort of shook my world a little bit. No, actually a whole lot. And ever since... I've battled allergies all my life. And one of the things that causes allergies that we've learned under Pastor Jim is that there's a weeping that goes on the inside that causes allergies to flare up. And Friday afternoon, I had this visitor come by my house and drop a bombshell on me. And it's difficult for me to respond to that sort of thing quickly. I'd like to be more like you in that area. I'd like to be just a tad bit quicker on my feet when it's serious as I am quick on my feet when it's not serious. So I had to call my friend back Saturday to actually respond to the news that I got. But then Saturday night, and I don't know how many of you have ever had this happen, but last night, I'm laying in the bed, and it's like I'm hurting so bad on the inside that I know that I'm crying inside, but it won't come out. The tears won't come out of my eyes, but I feel it on the inside. And I've learned, I am learning to just let that thing happen as opposed to trying to stop it. But the next 7 days between now and next Sunday are going to be a little bit of a difficult time because I'm telling you as much as I can, okay? There's going to be a lot of people that I care for a lot, not here at this church. There's a lot of people that I care for a whole lot who are getting ready to have their world turned upside down. And I mean upside down. And I haven't checked with my elders yet, but I may not have the opportunity to be here next week. Because if I can get permission from the Lord and from the elders, I plan to be there to try and help pick up the pieces when the bombshell drops. That was this past week. The week before is when I had to go to Pastor Jim and sit down across from the lunch table from him and say, hey, you got this problem in your life. It's not only affecting you, it's affecting me, it's affecting the church. You need to get, hey, can I call it what it is? You need to get rid of this sin. Now, how many of you would like to have traded places with me? But you see, guys, Jesus is coming. And she won't have any spot. She won't have a wrinkle. And she won't be blemished. God is purifying His church. Not only this one, but lots of churches. And God's working. And it is the most wonderful time in the whole world, and it is the worst difficult time in the whole world. And both those statements are true. I want to tag that also before I move on by saying this also. Sometimes people will say to me, well, what are we doing Sunday? My answer for the last several Sundays has been, who knows? Who knows? Because I'm not making any plans. I'm just standing there and letting God do whatever it is God wants to do. I take that responsibility awesomely seriously. That's why sometimes if I hurt your feelings on a Sunday morning prior to service because I don't seem to be quite as attentive to something you're trying to tell me or ask me, I want you to know it's not because I don't care or not concerned about whatever it is you're saying. My mind is way somewhere else. I've defined it for years as like having a baby. God speaks to my heart at some point during the week, and I call that the impregnation of the Word. And that thing begins to grow and grow and grow and grow, and we come to this time right here, and I birth that baby right in front of you. And so all of you women will understand that if you're getting ready to have a baby and somebody's asking you a question, that's the answer is not what you're thinking about. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you can be a little bit more irritable to the person who asked a legitimate question just because you're all tied up emotionally in something else. You follow what I'm saying? And that's the way Sundays are for me. I feel the pressure. I feel the push. And hopefully we begin to see the head. Amen. And the baby will come out. And there'll be the reason this analogy works so well, because when a sermon is born, there's life in it. There's life in it. If we're willing to just breathe. Okay. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the number three and how important three is in the Bible. Trinity's in three. Man's in three. Body, soul, spirit. There are three heavens. There are three enemies: the world, flesh, the devil. We only fight three battles: lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Man is physical, spiritual, and eternal. There are three primary colors: red, blue, yellow. Composition of the sun is chemicals, lights, and rays. Nature only has three kingdoms in it: animal, vegetable, mineral. There are three forms of matter: solid, liquid, gas. Time is divided into three segments: past, present, future. We can go on and on and on and on. Three is very important in the Bible. And Jesus, in the Scriptures, was approached at one point. And said to the scribes and Pharisees that, in fact, here it is, it's in John chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. Then answered the Jews and said unto Jesus, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But John writes in verse 21, "But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the Scriptures." The point I'm wanting to make is this. Not only was Jesus raised from the dead after 3 days, but that today the body of Christ is sitting in front of me. I believe that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that when the subject of communion comes up, and it says that some have slept and some have even died from not discerning the Lord's body. We think of a discernment of the elements, but actually the Lord's body is not that bread and not that drink. The Lord's body is sitting in your chair. And sometimes I believe that we have taken communion unworthily because of the body of the Lord that we have abused that is occupying your seat. I think that there have been times when we have taken communion unworthily because we have abused the body of Christ that is sitting in the seat next to us. Oh, did you hear what they did, what they said, where they've been, what they thought, what they did? And we approach the communion table unworthily because we don't rightfully discern that right there sits the body of Christ. Risen on the third day. But Jesus now refers to us as His bride and as His body. And I believe that on the third day, Jesus is coming. A day being as 1,000 years, 1,000 years being as a day, Peter said to us. So from Calvary to year 1,000 was day. From the year 1,000 to the year 2,000, day. And Jesus rose from the grave early on the third day. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we are standing at the threshold of Jesus coming back again. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, 3 days? You know, it's an interesting question when we did this introduction part a couple of weeks ago. Are you any more dead 3 seconds, 3 minutes, 3 days, 3 years, 30 years? Are you any more dead than when you're dead? So why is three such an important number? Because it is. In Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, God said, "Let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were from under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the, what day? Second day. Okay? Verse 9. God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear," and it was so. God called the dry land earth, gathered together the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And we are now working, he is now working during the third day. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed in itself upon the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, let me just lay my concept out for you real quick, that we are living in the third day of God's calendar. That Jesus is coming soon, I believe. And that there is a third day way to live. Can I put it that way? There are some things that we will see happening in the third day of God's calendar that we've never seen before. And there is a way to live in the third day that is unlike any other way that God has either allowed or permitted or put up with in the church beforehand. One of the things that's going to happen in the third day is this. That which is liquid is going to solidify in one direction, and that which is solid and cannot be moved will be solidified in another direction. There's going to be a separation part from all that stuff that just sort of has a tendency to lead us astray and not really give us good foundation to stand on and kind of has changes in currents and temperatures and all kinds of stuff that sort of distracts us over here, and there's going to be something solid that we can stand on. I had a new trainee ride with me this week, and our very first stop is at a place over in over in North Charlotte off Parkwood Avenue. If you're familiar where Parkwood is, over on Parkwood Avenue. And the lady that runs that store is as mean as a snake. And as hard as I've tried for 4 months to get her to like me, she don't like me at all. Of course, she doesn't like anybody. But nonetheless, I haven't given up on her. And she was ill to me while I was in there again Monday with my new trainee, very first day, very first stop. She's in there just being just as ill to me as she can be. And we leave out of there, and he made a comment about it. And I said, in a situation like this, the only thing you can do is pray that Jesus will get a hold of her. Well, that opened up a whole new conversation. Come to find out, this young man's 33 years old, never been married, got saved 5 years ago. And guess what he doesn't know? Exactly. There's nothing he doesn't know. Nothing he doesn't know. So all believers, when they are immature, they have these watershed ideas of how they want to grade whether what quality of Christian you are. You understand what I'm saying? So they start asking you all these questions because instead of accentuating, in our immaturity, instead of accentuating on the things that we agree on, we want to accentuate on the things we disagree on. So his first question out of his mouth was, "Are you a Calvinist?" Calvinists are people who believe in predestination. I figured that no matter what answer he was looking for, that I was going to use yes just to see where he was. So I said, yeah. We went a half a day without him speaking to me. He only did what he absolutely had to do, but all of a sudden now then, I was less of a Christian because he thought I was a Calvinist. So then when he started trying to warm up a little bit, I made some sort of a mistake in my little handheld computer there, and I went, well, I can't really be blamed for that. I guess I was predestined to make that error. Sort of just poking at him, you know? See, that's all this old liquid stuff that's over here. Really doesn't make a bit of difference. It's a distraction from the really solid stuff that we need to be concentrating on. In the third day, not only is God going to plant our feet on something solid, everywhere we stand, we will be looking at fruitfulness. Is that what it said right there? Then on the third day, God separated that which would evaporate from that which would not, that which would change from that which would not, that which is not solid from that which is solid. And on the solid, he said, it's going to reproduce grass and herbs and trees that give fruit after its own kind. I believe that as we are living in the third day, we are going to produce fruit after our own kind. I believe it's going to work positively as well as it's going to work negatively. But that in our lives we are going to see a greater abundance of fruitfulness than we have ever seen before. And that if we have a passion for God, we will see the fruits of that passion. And I believe that if we don't have a passion for God, we're going to see the fruitfulness of that also. Because God's going to separate that which will... let me put it this way. God's going to separate that which is eternal from that which is going to get burned up. Turn with me to John chapter 15. I'm sorry. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Beginning with verse 1. Mark 11, 1. And when they, Jesus' disciples, came nigh to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples and said to them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you are entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say to you, why do you take this? Say that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. They went their way and found the colt tied. I love this verse. Found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. In a place where two ways met. It wasn't a place where it forked and you went two ways. It was at a place where two ways came together and became one road. You see that in your mind's eye? When Calvary, one road, met my sin, it produced a road called redemption. When the redeemed on one road met the Holy Spirit on another road at a place called Pentecost, the church was born. One road. A place where two ways meet. Whew, man. They loosed the colt. Certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosening the colt? They said unto them as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, crying, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Hear this. He went to Jerusalem. He went to the temple. He looked around. It was late in the day, and he left. See that in that verse? He went into Jerusalem. He went to the temple. He took a look around, and he left. Day one. And on the morrow, the next day, day two, they were come from Bethany. He was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem. Now we're back for what? The second time. Jesus went into the temple for the second time. And began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Let me ask you something. At the conclusion of year two on God's timetable, did the Spirit of God move through the church and throw out people who were using the church for their own personal financial gain? We sat horrified as we watched it on the TV, in the newspapers, and in the magazines. Hello? As God began to clean His church on day two of all the money changers, God began to change His emphasis from doing things on stadium levels to doing things on local levels. Because He's not coming back for a stadium or a TV channel or a missions program. He's coming back for a church. Verse 16, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessels through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. The scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. In day one, took a look around, didn't do a thing, went back out. Day two, on his way back in, stops at a fig tree. Don't forget that fig tree. Stops at a fig tree, has a conversation with a tree. Okay? Goes back into the same place he just was the night before and cleans house. Instructs the people that this is a house of God, not a house of entrepreneurism. And turns and leaves. Verse 20. And in the morning, what day are we on? In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. That's what's going to happen in the third day. You see, when the liquid is divided from the solid and the solid begins to produce fruit, that grows, if it doesn't produce fruit, is going to be dried up. And Peter called to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest and withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. Isn't that an interesting parallel there? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus said that on what day? We're catching on, are we? Therefore I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, I think Miss B said that this morning, believe you receive them, you shall have them. In day three, when you stand praying, verse 25, in day three, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branch. And if we are not producing, every branch that doesn't produce is chopped off and thrown into the fire. You see, in day three, We don't have any choice about forgiveness anymore. It becomes the absolute focal point of who and what we are. Why is that? Because what it is that separates me from God is my sin. And if I'm harboring unforgiveness and I'm unwilling to forgive, I can't receive forgiveness. But see, that's not what we want to hear. We want to hear about... Did I tell you I went to this conference where this guy showed a bunch of videos trying to make his point? And he had this video in and he goes, "Let me show you how most people think about God." And he hit the play button and what came on the TV was the beginning intro of Mr. Rogers. And it showed that whole thing with Mr. Rogers coming in and, "I want to be your friend. Can I be your friend?" And he walks over to the closet and he's still singing. He takes his sweater off or he takes his jacket off. He puts his sweater off. And I mean, they showed us the whole video, you know. He goes over and he takes off one pair of shoes and, "I want to be your friend." And that's how we think about God. That's how we want to hear that God is. "Will you be my neighbor?" Thank you. I couldn't remember what the other line was. That's how we want to think about God. That's all we want to think about Him as. So, you know, "Yes, God, I want to be your neighbor. Forgive me of my sin." We don't want to hear God say, "Well, there's just a slight problem." You know that anger you're holding? You know that unforgiveness you're carrying? You know that resentment? You know that bitterness? "If you'll let that go, I'll let yours go." And we go, "No, you're God. You can do it without me having to." And God says, no, "I am God, but I limited myself by what I said. And I said, I won't let it go until you let it go." I think it's okay to say this. Last Sunday, Pastor Jim got up and said, "I'm holding anger." Tuesday he went, he met with the person, he asked them to forgive him. The elders are now going to get together. We're going to come back and we are going to meet with Pastor Jim and we're going to pray for God to heal his dementia. Because you see, God can't do one till we've done the other. And I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what it says in solid black and white. Now, I've not lived for 100 years. There are some mornings I feel like it. But I've not lived for the 1,000 years from 1,000 to 2,000. But in the 45 years of that I did get to live in there, I'm going to tell you what, looking back over my shoulder, I've seen where God, at least my perspective is, okay? Let me phrase it that way. My perspective, I've seen God for 45 years let us play. Just kind of sort of do our own thing. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not just a new day with me and a new day with Lamplight. It's a new day in the kingdom, period. And God is not the cosmic killjoy who's just simply wanting to take all of, you know, if I like it, I know God's going to want me to give it up. That is just ridiculous. Okay? But see, what hurt in this conversation that I had Friday afternoon? What hurt was is that I had a place of safety and refuge that I could go to if I needed to. That I could seek the Lord by going somewhere else first. If I had a question, I had somebody I could depend on. If I was hurt, I had somebody I knew would understand. And they came along and they said, "I'm not going to be around anymore." And what God has shown me as I have tried to bounce back from that is that This was a place where you leaned on. And now I'm going to take that place. And hey, we can all jump up and go, well, you ought to be excited about that. Hey, let's just talk in the real world where we really live, all righty? I am much more comfortable with the world I've built than the world He's rebuilding. I am much more comfortable. Because I know where all the trap doors are, and I know where all the potholes are, and I know how my world is. My world's not like a video game where something jumps out from behind, you know. I know what's behind everything in my world. But one of my pillars came out, and kind of like that sinkhole up in Denver, you know. I mean, it just, all of a sudden it just went like this, and there was this huge hole in my world that's about to get, this is not a word Joyce and Miss B, but I'm going to use it anyway. It's about to get huger. There was a huge hole in my world. It's about to get huger. But God, yeah. Because we're being pruned that we might produce more fruit. Because we can be a fig tree for a while till the second day and Jesus comes walking by. And if He comes by and He's looking for that fruit and it's not there, the conversation is not a pleasant one. I say, here's another. You know, we want to run back to Mr. Rogers again. Okay? We don't want to think about Jesus cursing that tree. But He did. This same guy I was telling you about, this seminar I went to, he goes, now let me tell you what I see Jesus as. He had the play button. And Mel Gibson in Braveheart. Anybody seen Braveheart? Yeah. Is standing there. And Mel Gibson in that, was it Irish or Irish tone of voice says, said, all men die, but not all men live. And he's got his war paint on, you know, and he's got his sword and everything. And the guy stops the video and he goes, that's God. He said, not the other guy, not Mr. Rogers, that ain't God. He said, this is God, warring on my behalf, challenging me to be more than I am, and leading an army forward against insurmountable odds that in the end He wins. Amen. He said, that's God. And I was like, yeah, that is God. And we'll produce fruit in the kingdom. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. We'll do just one more of these. I don't know, we might do two. We're going to do one for sure. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Said unto him, Abraham. Abraham said, behold, here am I. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering unto one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took his two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, a clave of wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which the Lord had told him. Verse 4, Genesis 22:4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, if you can see it, you can get there in a day. Abraham said unto the young man, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand and knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, I'd like for you to look at your Bibles while I read this. In fact, if you've got a pen and don't mind marking your Bibles, my son, God will provide, Himself a lamb. comma, for a burnt offering. So they both went together. God will provide Himself, a comma, a lamb. And the third day, ladies and gentlemen, let's turn around, let's look back over our shoulders. God's been really good to us in day two. And sure, there were some problems. Okay, but the prosperity message, taken in the right context, was a word we all needed to hear. And we all learned some good word. We had some really high highs. We had a bunch of really good experiences. And most of us can look back over our lives, just even in a short amount of history, and we can see where God made us a promise, came through on His promise, and we are living in the promise. I want to call that in your life, please, your Isaac. Because in the third day, there's going to be a test of what is more important, the promise or the promiser. And if God comes along and takes back everything He's given you, what will our response be? The Bible says over, I believe it is in Romans. I wished I knew for sure, but if somebody who does know can correct me. I believe it's in Romans. No, it's not in Romans. Over somewhere in the general epistles is this piece of Scripture about who can separate us from the love of God. Shall tribulation, persecution, famine. Okay? Those are really a non-legitimate question, my mind. Because we know that those things can't separate us from the love of God. The real question is this: what of those things can separate God from our love? In other words, right now at my house, I got plenty of food to eat all next week. But if it comes down to where I don't have enough, am I going to bellyache to God? Now, I'm not saying not ask Him to meet my need. Okay? What I'm talking about, though, is that when God has given to us more than any of us ever deserved, and He tests us to see where our allegiance lies, our allegiance lies to the promise or our allegiance lies to the promiser, where are we going to come out on the other side of that thing? There ends the $100,000 question. I was telling my little trainee kid, 33 is a kid to me, last week about the surgery that I had in December of last year and the miraculous miracle beyond the expectations of myself and anybody else, how God totally healed me. But had the doctor slipped and left me paralyzed, or with the had the knife when it was stuck down my throat slipped and I not had the ability to speak, and I go crawling to God saying, oh God, but You called me to do this and You do that and do this and do that, and I can't do this without that. Can I get to the point where I, in my prayers, finally just faint and say, nevertheless? If I have to write my sermons out and hand them out and get you just to read them, I will serve Thee. What becomes the focus of all that's important inside of us? Gosh, y'all are mighty quiet. Let's do just one more and we'll close this morning. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40, beginning with verse 20. And it came to pass the third day. How many of you had any idea that the third day appears so many times in the Bible? And we're not even through the first book yet. Came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up his head to the chief butler and chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But he handed the chief baker, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, I think I would, you know, I might would have remembered that, but nonetheless, he forgot him. Verse 1, chapter 40, verse 1, and it came to pass at the end of how many years?
2 years.
2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. See, when Joseph got down to his third day, he got out of, hear me, ladies and gentlemen, the prison of his past. Went 2 full years at the beginning of the third year, the third day, he got out of the prison of his past. Joseph had been in prison all his life. He's thrown into a hole first, sold as a slave, was in prison to the army guy's family and all that, then went to jail. But he got out of the prison of his past in the third day. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me excited. Because I want to be out of the prison of my past. But in order for us to come out of the prison of our past, ladies and gentlemen, we must assume responsibility for who we are, where we are, and the decisions that we've made. If I stand here before you today and I say, you know, well, I can't help it that I'm this way or that way because my mama dropped me on my head when I was 6 months old, I'm never going to be any better. If I am constantly looking in my past for someone else to blame for where I am right now, I'm never going to be free from my past. And it's time for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and specifically us, to grow up and say, hey, I'm responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for my reactions. Uh-oh. I'm responsible for the decisions I've made, and I'm responsible for where I am today. And if I don't like where I am responsible for changing where I am. Because it's time for us to come out of the prisons of our past. And seeing Joseph, and I'm sure to some degree he did, we'll talk to him about it one day. I'm sure he whined about it. You know, I don't deserve to be here. That's not the question. The question is, you are here. Do you want to leave? Don't turn there. Let me just read it to you. It's a familiar piece anyway. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. See, wherever it is we are today, we can be somewhere else. We can be somewhere else in the twinkling of an eye. When I stood here before you last week and confessed the anger and the resentment and the bitterness that I had felt for so many years, when God and I met last Saturday out in my yard and dug that hole and burned all that stuff, the amazing thing was how free I felt. It was like, I don't know, it was kind of like all on the inside, but it was like there was a, like something else opened up on the inside. And it was, I just don't know how to explain it. It's kind of like there was this air pocket that had like clean air in it. You know? And it was so different from how I had been living that I couldn't not recognize that there had been a change. And I stood there not only in the utter amazement of how much had changed, but I stood there in the utter amazement of how comfortable I had gotten with it being bad. I stood there going, if I had known it had been that ugly, if I had known it would have been that cruel, if I had known that it had me tied up like it had me tied up, I hope I would have been smart enough to have gotten rid of that long time ago. But then there will be a new challenge this week and a new challenge next week and a new challenge the week after that. Because guys, generically speaking, this is the air I breathe. You're never really alive. I believe when you're born, you're dead. When you come to Jesus, you exist. And when He speaks to you, you live. Because I just can't compare anything to hearing His voice. The only thing I know to call it is life, because that's all I know to call it. Because when He speaks, there's nothing that compares to that. That's what life is hearing God speak. This is the air that I breathe. This is my daily bread. Not your written word. It's your very word spoken to me. There's an old expression about you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Ah, that's malarkey. You take him to water, stick salt in his mouth. He'll stick his own head in the water. Well, this horse, or to use a biblical term, this jackass, has been led to the water and got salt in his mouth. And yesterday I worked out in my carport for 6 hours trying to clean that trash pile up. And when I stopped long enough to take some water, all of a sudden it was like I couldn't get enough of it. That is what I'm hoping to birth in you and in me. I believe that's what God is after. To where when we get a little bit, it just isn't enough. And when we get more, that's not enough. And when He just drowns us, that's still not enough. Because as we sang this morning, all I want is more of you. And it's an amazing thing. It's like the more you get, the more you want. And then the more you got, the more you want. There's a whole new way for us to live. We got to come to that which is solid. We got to bear fruit. We got to love the promiser over the promises. Let me phrase that another way you've already heard. It's not all about you anymore. It's not all about you anymore. It's all about Him. We have got to grow up to where we can look with Job and say, though He slay me, yet will I pursue Him, like David said, like the deer panting for the water. When my car breaks down, I don't curse God for it falling down. I bring God to remembrance of His promises over my life. See, it's actually affirmation that we're where we're supposed to be when the enemy tries to move us from there. And God says, oh no, 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 no. You ain't going to slide this one over in a ditch. Because we're living in a new day. The games are gone, but the fun remains. And it's going to be fun. Just watching us all become more like Him. Let's pray. And more than anything else, we want to be more like You. I haven't said thank You for rocking my world Friday. So let me now tell You thank You. Thank You for turning it upside down. Thank You for showing me a place where I have an alliance and an allegiance that's not as solid in You as You want it to be. Thank You for taking care of these people in Your infinite grace and wisdom. And as You've done with Samima, meet all of our needs according to Your riches and glory. And we will forever worship and honor and adore You. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Y'all have a great week, and we will look forward to seeing you next Sunday.